All right, welcome back to the Beyond Sunday podcast. We're exploring how to take our faith beyond Sunday morning. This is Patrick Nazaroff. With me, as always, Pastor Dave Bowser.
How are we doing, Patrick?
And Elise McCarter.
Still here. Still pretty successful. I do want to point out that nobody has noticed my haircut.
In my defense, you're wearing headphones, so I don't know.
It sticks out below my headphones.
Once you put on the headphones,
in my defense,
I'm in game time mode.
I'm a straight man. Like
that's a terrible defense.
It's not a good defense.
I'm just saying, like,
my defense is that I'm inobservant. How's that?
Yes. I'm saying, like, of all possible demographics, I'm probably my demographic would be the lowest to notice another person's hair.
What did you do? Did you do some layering?
I cut like
a foot
off of it.
You did not cut a foot off of your hair.
I did.
Your hair is still like 2 feet long. You did not cut.
It was down here.
Is it really?
Yes.
No, see?
Maybe.
The problem here is not that I didn't notice your haircut. It's that I didn't know how long your hair was before.
But you didn't ever notice my hair to begin with.
There it is.
Fair enough.
Honesty is important.
But one day I'm going to come in with a haircut and you better notice is all I'm saying.
Right. Yeah,
I got my haircut. Nobody talked about that.
Your hair's the exact same no matter what.
Yeah. Don't you get the same haircut like every 3 weeks?
Six, but yes.
Okay. So, I mean.
What do you tell them?
They know the order.
They know. Okay, you go to the same person.
Well, it's Great Clips, and they've got a little tag.
Okay.
So it says, this is what you did last time. You want it again? Like, yep.
Okay.
So easy, yeah.
It's great.
Yeah. Does yours include a number?
Yes.
Yeah.
On the sides, yeah.
A number two and a number.
Yeah.
Finger length on the top.
I can't do that.
Number two on the sides. You could look good with a number two on the sides.
Number two on the sides, yeah.
Sure, yeah.
High and tight.
It's an undercut. That's a thing these days.
Yeah, very handy.
Yeah, if you have like a lot of hair, it gets like really hot.
You just did. You got rid of it.
Well, so I had long hair, like so a lot that direction, but not a lot like volume. If that makes sense.
Yeah.
All right, I've got a question for you.
Okay.
I also do not have a lot in volume. I get it.
When it came to picking baby names, we've all picked at least, we've picked collectively six baby names in the room.
Oh, go us. That makes us experts, right?
Yeah. Was that a challenge for you and your spouse to pick a baby name?
It was harder with William than it was for Sophia for some reason.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel like usually the boy names tend to be a little bit easier than the girl names for some reason.
Sure.
So that's interesting that it was the other way around.
For Sophia, we had a list on the refrigerator, and anybody could add a name to the list, and anybody could cross a name off the list.
Anybody?
Well, I mean, either of us. Yeah.
Yeah. That's chaos.
Yeah.
There were only two of us in the house. So. Right. And so, yeah, we could go by, and then eventually we landed on what we got.
Yeah, I mean, I agree, like, when it comes to baby names, it needs to be like launching a nuke. Both need to turn
their
key.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. And I will say I took longer to turn my key on William's name. It took me longer to come around to the flow of it. It didn't feel like it flowed at first, but then the sentimentality got
me. Did you use any resources to come up with baby names? Baby books?
I did not.
ChatGPT?
It did not exist.
Yeah.
Mm-mm.
Did you use ChatGPT for Benji? ChatGPT was probably like on its front edges then.
No.
No? Okay.
But you can. This is from Yahoo Life.
Mm-hmm.
This is a profile piece. Meet the San Francisco woman who charges $30,000 to name your baby.
I'll do it for 15.
Why are we doing this? Yeah. Speaking of undercutting.
Come on, coming up here. What do you
$5
got?
$5.
Right? I will name your baby just for fun, honestly.
Nah, I want medical insurance out of this.
Taylor A. Humphrey is the TikTok entrepreneur who names babies.
Okay. Who are her clientele? And how can we make sure that they're not allowed to have babies?
Yeah.
If this is how you're spending your money, I'm questioning your ability to parent appropriately.
Right. She has done more than 500
what?
Baby names.
At $30,000 a pop?
Up to $30,000.
Up to? What are the requirements?
Why would anybody pay up to?
Yeah. I get a choice to pay less.
Right. Like, give me
and
your
she's
lowest
in San Francisco.
Baby name
she's
package.
In the tech Bay Area, which is further proof like, are rich people stupid? Like, come on. Like, are they just dummies who just, like, who fell backwards into money and now are like, I can't make a decision. Let me pay $30,000 to have somebody name my baby for me.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
Yeah.
Is she deciding between existing names? Like, you're doing all the work and she's just making a decision? Or is she coming up
in
with
some?
The names?
Yeah. I read the profile piece.
Oh, my goodness.
And some, her.
We've done more research on this than we have on our topic today.
A Zoom consultation over a couple in the hospital because they could not finalize a middle name.
Wow.
And they would not release the baby without signing the birth certificate.
You do have to, but I don't think a middle name is required for that. You could have done.
But they wanted the middle name.
Middle nameless.
And husband wanted Priscilla
Ooh.
Husband loses.
Yeah. And wife said no.
Good for wife.
Yeah.
And they and she consulted and gave them Lily.
Lily is definitely a better option than Priscilla.
Yeah.
This
also,
was not worth $30,000.
Also, any of us could have done that. Yeah. Like, yeah. Like, Lily.
$100
like,
bucks. Yeah. I got you.
We could do it as a team.
Okay. Well, here you go. Just want an email with some personalized baby name recommendations. That's $200.
Okay. All right. I can send you an email.
Yeah.
What makes it personalized? What makes the list that I send you any?
This is what I assume. This is what I would do.
Yeah.
They send me $200. Uh-huh. I go to ChatGPT and I say, can you give me 20 fun baby names?
Yeah. Right.
And then I just send that to the person.
And then you say, don't repeat from the last 20 because it's got to be personalized.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. Or like, what kind of, like you say, like, what kind of names do you want? Like nature-y?
Yeah. Tell me about yourself.
Do you want classic names?
We love to hike. Great. Your baby's names are Arbor or Maple or Elm or, or Lily.
The first one he came out with.
Yeah. You're not definitely setting yourself up for the baby name consultant. When you're saying my first one is Arbor.
Listen, Arbor would be right up these people's wheelhouse.
That
if, they're, if they're thinking about Priscilla for a middle name.
That's true.
Arbor Priscilla. Mwah.
Mwah.
That's beautiful.
The only limits are your own imagination. This is from our website.
There should be some more.
There are also legal limits.
Your own imagination, yeah. Then yeah. Why do you need her at all? Like again.
Yeah. There are laws about what you're legally allowed to put on a birth certificate. So,
are they really?
Yeah. 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 Like, you can't actually use symbols and stuff like that in legal names and other sort of things.
Elon Musk have a kid that's like all dashes and numbers.
I assume, this is my assumption, with the celebrities who name their things like insane, yeah. I assume it's fake, that that's there to protect the child's actual name.
Mm. That's interesting.
So when Gwyneth Paltrow says her daughter's name is Apple, she's just saying that. But like I on the birth certificate, I mean, she's a loony bin.
She probably
so.
Calls her Apple. She's pretty maybe nice. The birth certificate's something else, but I'm betting she calls her Apple.
Apple Paltrow.
I think it was maybe Martin. That was her husband's name from Coldplay.
Chris Martin.
Yeah.
Could not tell you.
There you go. Mm-hmm. Well, you need to get up on your
Apple
Paltrow.
Martin. Apple Martin. You're correct. Sorry.
Yes. Apple Martin. Yeah.
It's like that's so close to Apple Martini.
Right.
That I sure. want it to not
basically.
Be that. Yeah. I'm like, surely we went with Paltrow, right? Like,
it is. I think they probably be calling it Appletini. You yeah, know, it's like right. a little a little pet name. Yes.
Yeah,
give me an Appletini.
That is a good pet name. I'll give you that.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, really, when you think of like, what do I want my kid's name to be? For me, the goal is so that they don't really have a shared name for another student in the class.
Sure.
Like nobody wants to be Patrick in on the roster.
Because you're
I just
want to
be
Patrick.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Like,
yeah.
And that's why we kind of really settled on some more classic names because that's kind mm-hmm. of more out than in.
That's right.
Right.
So, all right. There you go. If you're interested, I'll give you her name again. Taylor A. Humphreys. But I'll tell you this. Whatever price she quotes you, we'll beat it.
Yeah, we'll absolutely.
We will beat it.
By at least,
and there's three
at least
of us.
50%. We'll yes. beat
there's
that, yeah.
three of us. Yeah. And you. So, yeah, if you want to pay $100, we can give you a list of up to 15 baby names.
Yeah.
It'll take us like 20 minutes.
I'm
tops.
Just going to say, I think Arbor's a great name. Y'all hate it on it, but I think you're going to
well,
come around.
Well, it's because it's dumb and bad.
Well, but first, I need to hear the last, with the last name and a middle name. It all has
well,
to go.
I don't know yet. I don't know. So, I just think Arbor's got potential.
But we're dropping the Priscilla, right?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Priscilla's terrible.
It's got to, with a name like Arbor, it's got to be something else like nature-y or,
sure.
you know, like.
Arbor Day.
Yes. Arbor June Day.
Yeah.
You got to break it up a little.
Maybe first name Ann.
Yeah.
Ann Arbor Day.
Yeah. No, wait. No, I can't have Ann Arbor in my house. No, we don't allow that. That's
you like Ann Arbor?
That's where the University of Michigan is. I'm on a house type. No Ann Arbors.
So that was not on the list on the fridge?
That was definitely not.
Let's get to our main topic.
Also not on the list on the fridge were any children that we had had as campers who were like hellraisers as campers. We're like, nope, not naming our kid that. That got crossed
off.
Yeah,
that definitely was a thing when we were thinking through names. It was like kids in youth group are mad. Like, I don't want that to be... Yeah. In any way for a kid to be like, this kid's named after me. And I'm like, it's definitely not.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But also, I don't want to be like thinking, oh, God, man, that kid was so terrible. And now you have that name, and now I have to think about that every
that
time.
That association is powerful. Yep.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right. Real topic.
Real topic. This is from our ex-best friend.
Oh.
Relevant Magazine.
Are they trying to get back in?
They're trying, you know.
Let's see what they got.
They send us some bracelets, you know.
Okay.
We're considering it.
I'm not a big bracelet guy.
Well, they stood outside my window holding a boombox.
Did they?
Yes.
Really making a play. All right.
Yeah, they miss us and want to come back. So.
Yeah. But question, is it a real topic?
Let me ask this. How many of our listeners do you think get the boombox reference? Do you think that's in our listeners' wheelhouse? Do you get that reference?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm just curious.
Sure. I
listeners, if you get it, write in. We want to hear.
Wrong answers only.
BeyondSundayPodcast@gmail.com.
All right. This is from Friends Irrelevant.
Okay.
All right. From 11:11 to manifesting, why spiritual curiosity is surging.
What's 11:11?
And what it means for the church.
Angel numbers. You make a wish.
Oh, okay. Like on a clock. Okay. I got
and you. Also 444. Those are your angel numbers.
Why 444?
Why 11:11?
Why 11? Yeah.
Well, I thought 11:11 was because it was like, because I thought it was like any time it was like 12:12 or 09:09. Like I thought those were all times. So 11:11, I didn't know the 444 thing.
I don't know.
Okay. I
mean, it's all made up.
Biblically, 3:3:3 would make more sense is all I'm saying.
3:3:3. What about 666?
That would not be one. Don't wish.
That is
on
definitely a biblical number.
Right.
It is a very biblical number. But don't wish on that one. Right. You wish on that one, something else is going to happen.
777 would be good.
That'd be yes. But that's not a time you can have. Because there are not 77 minutes in an hour.
Right.
Maybe that actually
that's
is.
That's why 666 doesn't
it
exist.
Doesn't work either.
It actually means 817. It's 777. So,
yeah. So at 817, you've got a holy number. It translates to 777. Right. That's kind of how this stuff works. Like, yeah, okay. 8717 or 817.
It's
really
like how we were supposed to have the apocalypse a couple weeks ago, right?
And today,
and not the apocalypse,
the rapture.
The rapture. Sure.
Yeah. So, and then when it was wrong, they decided
a different calendar.
They decided, yeah. God does not use the Julian calendar.
Don't be ridiculous.
Gregorian.
Why would God use that?
Come
yeah.
on. And so it was actually supposed to be yesterday at time of recording, and it did not happen.
Yeah. Well, at least not to us.
Yeah.
Yeah. But maybe God's like, God's got his own calendar. You know, God's like,
right. There's a thought. Maybe.
Maybe he uses the Maya. Who knows?
I was watching something and this guy was like, can you imagine like hearing a bunch of thumping coming from your neighbor's house and going over there and they're just stuck like bumping against the roof trying to get raptured? Like, yeah. What do you do?
I assume you gotta like kind of grab them by the foot, kind of like help guide them outside, right. Like a helium balloon.
Right.
You know? Do you get raptured along with them then if you just like hold on to their foot?
Yeah, absolutely.
That could be a hack.
Yeah.
Yeah. Rapture hack, everybody.
There is a legitimate thing among people who believe in the rapture that you have to be outside for the rapture.
That's okay. A lot of pressure.
I'm just saying there's that's a real thing that like, oh, we have to be outside at the time.
But like, so you don't know at the...
You do. It's today or yesterday.
You're going to spend all day outside?
I guess. Right. I don't
what
know.
It's raining.
I don't believe in the rapture, so I don't know what their plan is. I'm just telling you there's a thing.
I mean, like... Like, listen,
once you go down the hole of rapture,
what about
right,
a gazebo? Yeah.
Being outside is like,
does that count?
Is that outside? Yeah, a tent. You take a tent with you.
All I'm gonna say is gazebos have that like that roof that goes to a point, so you're gonna get stuck in the middle of that. You're not.
Can
gonna be
I
able
not
to get out.
Like kind of like push monkey climb or spider climb along it to get outside?
I mean, maybe I don't know. I'm just telling you what the rapturists say.
Well, hold on, do your clothes go with you?
Well,
sometimes
so,
no. Yeah.
It depends on who you
ask. Sometimes no. Okay.
Like, yeah, do I just poof in a and my clothes are just left behind, or do I go naked?
So people say that your clothes will be left behind.
Okay. Yeah.
But I assume because of who these people typically are that they also would believe that you're immediately clothed with whatever holy. So you're not naked.
Ain't nobody nude. Right. Yeah.
That would be inappropriate.
Right.
Sure.
Jesus would not stand for that.
Right. Okay.
So, but I am hearing, if you think the rapture is coming, find the holiest person you know and hold on.
Yes.
Do their pant leg.
Not pant leg.
Do their ankle.
Yeah, do their ankle. Maybe handcuff, just in case. Just in case.
I don't know, they might drop the handcuff like they drop the pants. It's hard to say.
Hard to say.
Tie their hair around your wrist.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Now we're getting it.
All right. So 11:11 is a
back to our thing.
This is an important topic to cover, though, I think.
All right. Some Christians are waiting for a sign from God. Others are looking for one on their phone screen.
Yeah.
Oh.
Between angel numbers, astrology memes, and Christian manifestation, that's in quotes, a generation of believers is unknowingly importing New Age mysticism into their faith and calling it spiritual growth.
Mm.
Hey.
Okay. So 11:11, spiritual numbers, manifesting. Is anybody going to get a definition of that?
If you say it, it'll happen. I'm just going to believe it.
Yeah, this is kind of like The Secret. Remember that was a book that Oprah promoted.
That sounds
heavily
like a book that I did not read
over a decade ago. And it's basically the same thing. Or okay. A wish board.
Oh,
like
sure.
You put all your things on a board and then like wish it into the universe.
I think I know some people who are proponents of manifestation, right? And what I understand from them is it's you behave as if the thing that you want has already happened, like it has already come to fruition, and that somehow helps bring that thing to fruition.
All right, so the first half of that I can get behind.
It's a little bit like the power of positive thinking.
A little
right?
bit.
Like,
sure.
But even within theology, right, we act out our faith as though the final thing has already been accomplished, right? God has already won the final battle, even though in our linear timeline it has not yet come to pass. So we right. act out our faith as though that thing has happened, even though it has not in our timeline happened.
Right.
Right? And so I can get behind that half of it. But I don't know that me acting that way brings about that other thing,
sure.
right? That's the disconnect that I
yeah.
get.
It also...
But it is a little bit like dress for the job you want, not the job you have. And,
right. So there,
know,
there are elements of it that are not totally negative, right? You
yeah.
can be like, oh, yeah. I mean, like, I feel like if you have a more positive outlook on life, things tend to go a little bit better for
or
you.
Or
you
at least
you know?
See that, yeah.
Or
that.
You, where you look for the good in the world and
yeah.
you're more likely to see it. Like, mm-hmm. that kind of stuff. Like, I'm totally on board with that, but it's not like, okay, I'm going to manifest a yacht for myself and I'm going to act like I already have a yacht.
So
and that's going
to
mean
start
I'm
making
gonna
plans.
Right?
Who wants to go yachting?
yeah.
I got my boat hat.
Hat. You got
some
your pants.
Do this, like, for
I spent $10,000 to get a good name for my yacht.
right? Yeah. I had the TikTok lady name my yacht.
Yeah.
yeah. All right. Here's a survey. 60% of American adults hold at least one New Age belief: astrology, energy healing, or angel numbers.
One of those three.
These are such as
at least one New Age.
So okay,
belief.
If someone called you, because I don't know how it is, if someone called you and said, "Do you hold any New Age beliefs?" Would you say like
no?
You would say no.
Yes.
I mean, I think I would agree, but like, I just don't know what they mean by New Age beliefs.
Well,
like,
here's some pew.
I don't hold any of those three.
Pew,
okay.
Pew. 61% yeah. of American Christians say they hold at least one of these beliefs.
One of these beliefs.
Yes.
And is there a list?
I can Google it here. Let me pull that up.
Because like cosmetology, I'm out. Wait, no.
Cosmetology,
that's not right.
I don't believe in beauty.
what's the word? What's
it's
the,
out.
Astrology?
Yeah. But isn't there another?
Cosmology.
Like, cosmology. That's it. I'm out on both of those.
Right.
Also cosmetology. yeah, I don't believe in angel numbers. Because like the idea is like you wish on the... I will say, have I ever wished on numbers? Like, yeah. Because I, you know...
Okay.
I've like looked at things and...
Here's what... energy be created can be located in physical things, spiritual energy in physical things.
No. Well.
Okay, but counterpoint.
Yeah,
I just said
that too fast.
We believe in the existence of a
soul. I know, I just said that too fast. Okay,
yeah.
Maybe.
I don't like the way that's worded, though. And
yeah.
like instinctually, I'm like, no, that's dumb.
Yeah, right, yeah.
this does not seem soul. This would be like, this table has spiritual energy.
No, this table does not have
no.
spiritual energy.
Okay. No.
Belief in psychics.
No.
No.
Belief in reincarnation.
No.
No.
Belief in astrology.
No.
No.
Yeah, I'm out on all those. But I do maybe believe in ghosts and definitely aliens.
Is that on the list?
That's
ghosts
not
and aliens?
That's not on the list.
That's not like a New Age belief. That's
yeah,
like
that's been around forever.
yeah, yeah.
yeah.
and I don't know if I definitely do, but I really am intrigued by ghost stories. So,
sure.
Yeah. yeah.
And
well, there's
I'm
a lot
in.
To be intrigued about, but that doesn't Listen, mean
listeners,
that like,
if you have a ghost or an alien story, I want to hear it. I
yeah.
want to know about it.
Yeah, I
sure.
do too.
Yeah. But I may or may not believe in
I'll
it.
I'll listen politely.
But I want to hear it. Yes.
Yeah. Same. Like, I want to know the creepy things. Like.
Yeah. I mean, I can definitely say I think the world is bizarre, and
mm-hmm.
it's.
Yeah.
And so, like, this is interesting. First, I want to go through: Is there any good from this? And
okay.
then maybe some pitfalls.
Is there any good? All right.
And I think there are some.
All right. What do you got?
Well, one, I think, you know, we are coming, circling back to like a spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think. As people like left Christianity in
yeah.
like, the 80s, 90s, 2000s, like we were kind of embracing more, I don't know, nihilism in a sense, or
sure. yeah.
like you are not like there is no spiritual realm. And now we're kind of
yeah.
at least circling back to a spiritual realm.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's saying like a world that is free of all forms of religion or spirituality is actually not that appealing
sure.
even
mm-hmm.
to
yeah.
those who may be growing up in that world that they want something spiritual. And I think that matters. So for me, that's a positive.
Mm-hmm.
I think looking outside of oneself for spiritual fulfillment is a positive. Mm-hmm. And this can lead you there. I think if you're finding energy or spirituality in things or in the stars or the universe, you know, this is, for me, maybe early humanity. It mm-hmm. seems like this is, yeah. you know, it's looking up at the stars and feeling like there's got to be something out there beyond my existence, I think is good. I want that to lead you to Jesus.
Right.
Yeah. But, you know, that's not the end of the question, but at least it's the start of one.
Yeah.
Right.
So. Yeah, I can get behind the spirituality aspect of it being beneficial and opening us up to the broader possibility of things. I think the danger for me comes in how these tend, in my perspective, they tend to prey on people who are at risk, right?
Yes.
And I don't necessarily mean that as like homeless or, but like people who are already prone to making maybe poor decisions based on bad advice kind of thing. Like these areas seem to tend to prey on their naivete.
Yeah.
In a way that is unhelpful and in some cases abusive, in my opinion. And that's probably a dark side of it. I'm sure there are less dark versions of it, but that's my...
You know, I think kind of following in that vein that you're talking about, I've thought a lot about just the incredible amounts of time and money that people will spend on like holistic wellness stuff, like chasing sure. after something with the promise of spiritual awakening or healing or whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's, they will sink their entire lives into this sometimes. And I think that that is really harmful.
Yeah.
And I think to me, that's kind of where the distinction lies between like, okay, like there's, you know, maybe like having more space that we hold for this idea of like a spiritual self is a good thing,
sure.
right? But when it crosses over into like, you know, gurus and, you know, all the stuff
sure.
like this,
I've got
is
to consult my psychic,
you know? Right? Yeah. Like, and then you're just, that is taking advantage of people mm-hmm, in my mm-hmm. mind, right? In a very tangible way.
This yeah. feels like, yeah, you're charging somebody $30,000 to come up with a name for their baby,
right.
which they could do for free.
Right.
You know, like,
yeah.
You know.
But I'm okay with that one because I went in on that. That's
yeah. yeah, I want
we
to
want
charge
a piece
somebody.
Of that pie.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, I'm with you. And I think this is part of me, what makes these types of things dangerous or bad spirituality is they're also incredibly self-focused
yes.
and selfish thinking. Mm-hmm. Like, the idea of like the stars are aligning for me
yeah.
is like, I think that's like, that's incredibly like, I'm putting myself very much in the center of the universe, or these angel numbers are appearing because God wants to send, or God or the universe or whatever wants to send me a message.
Yeah. Yeah.
And part, I think what's different about that, about hopefully Christianity, how you're experiencing Christianity, is like, it's not about finding the will of God in my life. It's about submitting to the will of God in this world.
Sure.
You know, not about like God is doing this for me. It is, how am I tapping into what God is doing already?
Right.
I think that that kind of thinking is already so pervasive in Western Christianity, though. Like this idea of like, well, God has put this here for me
oh,
specifically
sure.
like that.
Yeah.
And it might not be in the form of angel numbers or something that's like kind of obviously like woo, right? But this idea of like, well, God laid this on my heart to talk to you
yeah.
about
yeah,
this
sure.
or like God, I don't know, stopped it from flooding here in my neighborhood,
mm-hmm.
but it took out the four neighborhoods around me, but
yep.
that's for me, you know, like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I would
is...
say that there's plenty of corrupted Christian theology that has
yeah.
gone in that direction. Yeah. Right. I think that's a fair critique of the modern Christian perspective, particularly when we get into prosperity gospel and things like that, that we've talked about plenty
yeah,
here before.
Yeah. But I think that like, there is a tendency to already lean into that kind of like archaic spirituality, right?
100%. I think sometimes, yeah, American Christianity leans into this, whether they know it or not. I
yeah.
think like when we look at the Bible and be like, God has a plan for me or for you, I think that is leaning into
mm-hmm.
kind of this
yeah.
paganistic thinking
sure.
of what God is about. Even like thinking like God rewards those who are faithful is
yeah.
a paganistic
mm-hmm.
belief at its core.
Jeremiah 29:11.
Exactly.
We
yeah.
print that out on its own.
Sure. It is truly a beautiful verse.
Yeah.
In context.
Yeah. Of being for the people
but,
and not
but,
for
yeah,
yeah.
yeah. God has a plan for the world.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
that plan is a good one, but it's not necessarily I get a yacht.
Right.
But I probably will, though, right?
Right, totally.
Right.
If you believe in it.
Yeah.
yeah.
Wear your yacht hat.
So, okay. So where does let's talk about manifestation for a moment, right? If manifestation is this idea that I believe it and I act like it's true and it, I bring it into being or bring it into existence in the world, where does prayer fit into that?
Hmm. Yeah. And maybe this is maybe a question of like, are our prayers somewhat inherently selfish? And sometimes they are.
Yeah.
And I don't and when is it bad? Maybe that's the question. Because like, is it selfish to pray? I mean, for our loved ones or ourselves when we have cancer for healing.
Yeah,
I don't think so.
Yeah,
but
yeah, it's a really great question. So when we're in seminary, we do this thing called clinical pastoral education, where you serve as a chaplain in a hospital for a brief time. And so I had a supervisor while I was serving as a chaplain, and one of the best things that he said to me is that sometimes. Because I was really struggling with that question, right? Like, what do you do when you pray for someone to be healed and one person gets better and one person doesn't? Like, what does that mean about my prayer? What does it mean about this? But right, it was just a question I was wrestling with. And the thing that he said to me that has stuck with me ever since then is that perhaps the most faithful prayer we can pray is, God, your will be done. Mm. Right? Yeah. And I want this person to be healed, but God, your will be done. And what does that mean for us to take that stance? And I do think that over time transitions us out of the selfish notion of it. And not to say like, oh, well, this person died because it was God's will, but to say God is present in the death and God is present in the life. God is present in both of these spaces. And how do I make room for me to experience the spirituality and the wholeness and the grace that is present in both of those?
Yeah. I think that kind of leads you into a question, or maybe we should start with a question of like, what do we think the purpose of prayer is?
Mm, sure.
Because this is a thing that I've been thinking a lot recently about, just kind of in my mind saying, okay,
it's a good place to think about
where
things.
Yeah, thank you.
Sometimes I think about them in my shoulder, it doesn't go as well.
Okay, like prayer and meditation, what is the difference between these two things? What is the value and purpose in each one of them? Do we need both of them? I had this kind of question kind of rolling around a little bit, and you know, from a I guess biblical perspective, what is the purpose of prayer for us?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think when we, if like I'm like taking stock of my own prayer life, I'm like, am I only praying really when I want something?
Sure.
And if that's like really when I'm connecting to God, it's like, hey God, it's me here with my laundry list of things that I'd like.
Yeah.
Hope you can give me some of them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
Maybe not all. I get it, but here's some.
We'll go accept a compromise.
Lead with the big asks. Then the thing you really want.
Yeah. Or should it be an ask sandwich? Right. Like little ask. Big ask, a little ask.
Yeah. And even if they're trying to be altruistic of like my loved one or somebody I care about or know has cancer or a sickness and I want them to be healed. Mm-hmm. That is, I'm trying to be altruistic, but I really am coming with wants.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
And I think when we pray just with wants, I think we're missing what prayer actually is. Because I don't think God is necessarily tabulating all the wants, and if you get enough want asks, God is like, done.
Yeah,
you know, like we gotta like get 100 people to ask 100 times, and then that's 1,000 wants, or 100,000 wants.
Yeah, now we got over it. We got
and
the list.
We reached enough wants, and I don't think that's the way it works. But I, you know, Bible is going to say this: prayer is powerful and effective.
Yes,
and I think that's because if we're not coming with wants, I think we have to be coming with connection, right? Like that. In this, I want to be connected to God, and this is one of the ways that I get there.
Who is it powerful and effective for, though? Is it powerful and effective for something external, or is it powerful and effective for you and what goes on in your own interaction with God?
I think it can be both.
Yeah.
I think it depends on the prayer and how that is brought about it through God's power, right? I mean, the Berlin Wall coming down was led through prayer vigils. Right. And I'm not saying that they just stood there and prayed, and the, you know, this was not a Wall of Jericho situation, but they, you know, were praying about this daily. And I think that that prayer certainly led to a movement that led to the wall coming down.
Mm-hmm.
But I also think that it connected those people to something deeper inside of themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a community and things like that. So I think both of those can be true. Yeah.
Yeah. I think if we're doing a version of manifesting, a Christian manifesting of like, I'm going to manifest or pray the will of God into existence, I think we're getting it wrong. Mm-hmm. I think the will of God needs to be surrendered to. And maybe that comes through prayer. I think that is a way to get there of like, God, you know, like you mentioned, not my will, but yours be done. And that means I've got to figure out or submit to God's will, and it's going to be different than my own. Like, yeah. The reality is God has better plans of this world and the people around me than I do. And even if those plans make no sense in the moment.
Yeah.
And even if those plans feel like these are actually hurting me in the moment, I think that God is being faithful to humanity in the moment, even if I'm being hurt right now. And that's a challenge. Like, that's very, very difficult, because I think it doesn't take spirituality to make oneself the center of the universe. You could be sitting in the pew every Sunday and still thinking everything is aligning for me.
Sure.
Whether you would say that or not, but that's how we kind of approach.
Yeah. Now, at least to your original question about meditation and prayer, I think they go hand in hand. I don't know enough about like meditation practices specifically. Like, I don't think that meditation, as far as connecting us to like our external spiritual selves, I don't know about that as much. But I do think there's a place in which meditation on, you know, certainly there's a history of this within Christian thought, meditation on a verse, meditation on an experience of God, right? And using that as, when you do the om, there's a word for that. I don't know. But using it as the thing that centers your meditation, I think can be a really powerful way to enter into what does God have in the midst of this? What am I supposed to be learning from this kind of thing? I think that can go alongside of a prayer life.
Yeah.
I think it serves a different purpose than prayer on its own.
I do too. I tend to think of meditation as like something that is very much directed inward. It's about turning inward versus prayer is something that's very much directed
I think that's
outwards.
A helpful way to frame it. Yeah.
Well, I think moving what Christians can do about this. I don't think it's necessarily like rolling our eyes at horoscopes or when
too bad,
you hear,
I'm really good at that one.
Yeah. When you hear somebody like, oh, 11:11 spirit, you know, angel number, like it's not necessarily like, ugh, stupid. Like,
get out of here, Satan.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't think that's helpful, but I do think it's hopefully for us as Christians to say like what we believe is supernatural. Mm-hmm. And that's exciting and that's interesting and that's cool. Like what we already are tapping into a supernatural thing. And we should be like, we're embracing this in church. Not we're embracing manifesting or angel numbers. We're embracing supernatural things in our midst. And we are going to people and be like, you have a hunger and a thirst for the spiritual. We also have the same thing. Mm. And we're seeing that in through the power of Jesus Christ. And that's not getting a yacht. It's tapping into what God is doing in the in the universe. And we're a part of that.
Yeah.
And I think that is a supernatural story that is exciting and maybe even more exciting than I looked at my clock and it said 11:11. You know, God's not here to communicate through like secret. I just made him look at his clock at 11:11.
Right.
God, like,
by the way,
got
that time happens twice a day. So
yeah, only once though if you've got a military time. So for the Army, you gotta really make sure you're paying attention.
But you could get 24/24. That'd be pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't think you can because it's zero.
Oh, 23/23 then. All
right. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I did see a thing, and I thought about bringing. I don't know if this is a full episode, but like 80% of Americans say if you ask them to go to church that they would go. Like non-church people,
80% of non-church people
would be open to the ask.
Open to the ask. That's not, that feels like, yeah, I would maybe potentially consider thinking about going to church one day.
Well, I think it is like there is a hunger for spirituality.
Yeah.
And
I'm guessing that the 80% was like, if someone you knew.
Yeah, if somebody you knew invited you to church, you would go. Yeah.
That's reasonable. I mean, if I had a relationship with a person who was Jewish and they asked me to come to synagogue with them, I would go.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't mean I'm not going to stop being a Lutheran pastor, right? Like,
right.
I
guess it's like how long? It's one of those long ones,
right?
Yeah.
Which one?
So I have to do a lot of standing and kneeling, standing and kneeling, standing and kneeling. Like, I'm out.
I mean, I think the openness to the spiritual is a worthy thing to note. Like, there, 80% of people would be like, the relationship is worth it enough for me to say, yeah, I would come and that doesn't mean that I'm going to be into it or that I'm going to give up anything else that I already believe, but I'm going to be open to the experience because the relationship to me matters.
Sure.
I think that.
Yeah.
And I'm curious about the supernatural.
Sure.
And I think that this is, you know, why we need to divorce ourselves from politics because that cuts off some of those
politics.
People.
Okay. I thought we were breaking up the pod right here. My goodness.
You didn't know that we were beefing.
Are you manifesting this right now?
Right.
Yeah.
I'm going to act as though we're already divorced.
Right.
That is one way to manifest something.
I'm breaking off my own pod.
If you want to start, if you want to be divorced, to start acting like you already are.
Acting like you're already divorced. Pro tip. I'll get you there.
It's probably. All right. Any other thoughts?
Our baby naming advice is way better than our marriage advice, just to be clear.
That was our divorce advice.
Oh, right. Okay. That was pretty good. It was solid divorce
solid
advice.
Solid divorce advice.
Right. Seven. That's my baby name.
That's your
baby.
That's very Seinfeld.
That's from Seinfeld. Yeah.
It's a good one. Yeah. Mickey Mantle's number. He was a baseball player.
Oh, great. Thank you. I was like, all right. Mickey right. Manuel, whoever that is.
Mantle.
Manuel.
Good Lord. All right. If you enjoyed this episode, God bless you. And we...
Mickey Manuel is Mickey Mouse in Spanish.
Oh, God.
In French, that would be Mickey Moose.
Manuel doesn't mean mouse in Spanish.
I know. Just being stupid.
All right, listeners, I'm sorry. If you have concerns, please send them to beyondsundaypodcast@gmail.com. But yeah, you can find all of our episodes at beyondsundaypodcast.com.
Oh, and let us know if you ever seen a ghost.
Oh, yeah.
It's
spooky season, so if you see
a ghost or an alien.
I'll bring it onto the pod. I want it.
You'll bring the ghost onto the pod?
Great, like your friend's alien encounter.
Oh, it's
story.
So good.
It's
yeah, I'll tell it in the next episode.
Yeah.
I think you've told it on the pod.
Yeah. Yes, but it's time for.
I'll tell it again.
Yeah,
yeah.
Bring
not
back
everybody's
up.
Like. Day one listener, yeah. You know.
That wasn't our
day last year listener. But anyway, it's time for a retelling.
Sure.
Best part about Halloween is that it's almost time for Patrick to get angry about Advent. So we got that to look forward to.
That's true. Wait till soup comes around.
So festive. I love it.
All right. Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll be back next week with more Beyond Sunday.